Hare Krishna. So this morning we will be studying from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 29. Chapter 29 is called as Talks Between Narada and King Prachinabhari. Talks Between Narada and King Prachinabhari. Our specific focus will be on text number 23 to 25 because they are together. So, should I read only this text today? Because there are three texts which are here.
On the board there is only one.
So, I'll just read this today. And then, after all of everyone repeats, then probably I'll just read myself those two.
Okay?
Go like that. So, text 23 goes as follows. Adayo vyadayastasya.
Adayo vyadayastasya.
Adayo vyadayastasya.
Adayo vyadayastasya.
Sainikaya vanascharah.
Sainikaya vanascharah.
Sainikaya vanascharah.
Sainikaya vanascharah.
Bhuto pashagashuraya. This is text 23, but text 24 and 25 also there. So I'll just read them. Evam bahu vidaya dukkhai daiva bhutatma sambhavai klishyamana satam varsham dehe dehitamo vritaha. That was text 24. And text 25 is pranendriya mano dharman atman yadhyasya nirgunaha sete kama lavan dhyayan mamaham iti karma krit. Adhyaya.
Adhyaya.
Disturbances of the mind.
Disturbances of the mind.
Vyadhyaya.
Vyadhyaya.
Disturbances of the body or diseases.
Disturbances of the body or diseases.
Tasya.
Tasya.
Of Yavaneshwara.
Of Yavaneshwara.
Sainika.
Sainika.
Soldiers.
Yavana.
Yavana.
Yavanas.
Chara.
Chara.
Followers. Bhuta, of living entities, upasarga, at the time of distress,
at the time of distress.
Asu,
asu,
very soon,
very soon.
Raya,
raya,
very powerful,
very powerful.
Rajvar,
Rajvar,
named Rajvar,
named Rajvar.
Dvividaha,
Dvividaha,
two kinds,
two kinds.
Jvara,
Jvara,
fever,
fever.
Evam,
Evam,
thus,
thus.
Bahuvidhai. Of different varieties,
of different varieties.
Dukkai,
okay.
By tribulations,
by tribulations.
Daiva,
Daiva,
by providence,
oh,
Bhuta,
Bhuta,
by other living entities,
by other living entities.
Atma,
Atma,
by the body and mind,
mind.
Sambhavai,
produced,
Klishyamana, subjected to sufferings,
subjected to sufferings.
Satam,
Satam.
100,
100.
Varsham,
Varsham,
years.
Yes.
Dehe,
Dehe,
in the body,
in the body.
Dehi,
Dehi,
the living entity.
Tamah
vrita,
Tamah
vrita,
covered by material existence.
Prana, of life.
Of life.
Indriya,
Indriya,
of the senses.
Senses.
Manaha,
Manaha,
of the mind.
Of the mind.
Dharman, characteristics, Atman, unto the soul, Adhyasya, wrongly, Dharman, characteristics, Atman, unto the soul, Adhyasya, wrongly attributing.
Wrongly attributed.
Nirguna,
or
transcendental.
Sete,
lies down.
Calm,
of sense enjoyment.
Lavan,
on fragments.
Dhyayam,
meditating.
Mama,
mind.
Aham,
I. Iti,
thus.
Karma
krit,
the actor.
The actor.
Translation. The followers of Yavaneshwar, Yamaraj, are called the soldiers of death, and they are known as the various types of disturbances that pertain to the body and mind. Prajwala represents the two types of fever, extreme heat and extreme cold, typhoid and pneumonia. The living entity lying down within the body is disturbed by many tribulations pertaining to providence, to other living entities, and to his own body and mind. Despite all kinds of tribulations, the living entity, subjected to the necessities of the body, mind, and senses, and suffering from various types of disease, is carried away by many plans due to his lust to enjoy the world. Although transcendental to this material existence, the living entity, out of ignorance, accepts all these material miseries under the pretext of false egoism, I and mine. In this way, he lives for 100 years within this body. Purport. In the Vedas, it is stated, Asango Ayam Purushaha. The living entity is actually separate from material existence, for the soul is not material. In Bhagavad Gita, it is also said that the living entity is the superior energy, and the material elements, earth, water, fire, air, and so on, are the inferior energy. The material elements are also described as bhinna, or separated energy. When the internal or superior energy comes in contact with the external energy, it is subjected to so many tribulations. In Bhagavad Gita, the Lord also says, Matra sparshas tu kaunteya sita ushna sukha dukadaha. Because of the material body, the living entity is subjected to many tribulations brought about by air, water, fire, extreme heat, extreme cold, sunshine, excessive eating, unhealthy food, maladjustments of the three elements of the body, kapha, pitta, and vayu, and so on. The intestines, the throat, the brain, and the other parts of the body are affected by all kinds of diseases that are so powerful that they become sources of extreme suffering for the living entity. The living entity, however, is different from all these material elements. The two types of fever described in this verse can be explained in contemporary language as pneumonia and typhoid. When there is an extreme fever in the body, there is typhoid and pneumonia, and they are described as prajwala. There are also other miseries created by other living entities. The state exacts taxes, and there are also many thieves, rogues, and cheaters. Miseries brought about by other living entities are called as adhibhautika. There are also miseries in the form of famine, pestilence, scarcity, war, earthquakes, and so on. These are caused by the demigods or other sources beyond our control. Actually, there are many enemies of the living entities, and these are all described to point out how miserable the material existence is. I repeat, actually, there are many enemies of the living entities, and these are all described to point out how miserable this material existence is. Knowing the basic misery of material existence, one should be induced to get out of the material clutches and return home back to Godhead. Actually, the living entity is not at all happy in this material body. Because of the body, he suffers thirst and hunger and is influenced by the mind, by words, by anger, by the belly, by the genitals, by the rectum, and so on. Manifold miseries encircle the transcendental living entity simply because he desires to satisfy his senses in the material world. If he simply withdraws from activities of sense gratification and applies his senses in the service of the Lord, all the problems of material existence will immediately diminish, and with the advancement of Krishna consciousness, he will be freed from all tribulation, and after giving up the body, will return home back to Godhead. Om Ajnanati Mirandrasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshuru Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadamanikam Mukham Karoti Vachalam Pangum Dangayate Yat Kripatam Maham Vande Sri Guru Dhinatarana Vanchakal Patarubhyascha Kripasindhu Vyayavacha Patitanam Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Sri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Vasudevaya
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya
Narayana Namaskritya
Narayana Namaskritya
Chaiva Narottamam
Chaiva
Narottamam Devi Saraswatim Vyasam
Yatojayamudhiraye
Nashtaprayeshu Abhadreshu Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavati Uttama Shloke
Bhakti
Bhavati Naishtiki
Krishnaya Vasudevaya
Devaki Nandanaya Nanda Gopakumaraya
Govindaya
Namo
Namaha
Adayo Vyanayastasya Saika Yavanashtara Bhuto Pashardashu Ayaha Prajvaro Vivido Jaraha Evam Bahu Vidhaya Dukhaya Daiva Bhutatma Sambhavai Krish Yamana Satam Varsham Dehe Dehi Tamo Vrutaha Pranendriya Mano Dharma Atmani Adhyasya Nirguna Sete Kama Lavanyaya Mamaham Iti Karma Krit. So this is the 29th chapter of 4th canto, where a conversation is happening between Narad Muni and Prachin Balli. Prachin Balli is still, has not still become a pure devotee. He has got a lot of material desires. So Narad Muni, in the form of his guru, comes and tells him a story, essentially to detach him from this material world. So, as a part of this, Narad Muni uses the methodology of allegory. So, he has spoken a lot of code language. He has spoken about a fictitious character called Puranjan. And because he was speaking about Puranjan, he created many other fictitious characters in that pastime. And that all happened in the previous chapters. At the end of that, Prachin Balli said that, yes, I still have a lot of doubts about what you spoke, because Narad Muni used an allegorical form of communication and not direct communication. So, now Narad Muni is decoding whatever he has spoken in the past, whatever codes he has used, Puranjan, Queen, etc. He is decoding that one by one. So, in this particular chapter, leading up to this, today's verse, so Narad Muni has been decoding so many things that he has spoken in the allegory. For example, he decoded what is the sense organs, he decoded the working senses, He decoded the subtle senses, which is mind and intelligence. He decoded the life air within the body. He decoded Chanda Vega. Chanda Vega refers to time. So he decoded that as well. And then, now, in the last two verses or so, he's elaborating on Chanda Vega, the time aspect. And as a part of that, he's talking about the effects of time in this material world. There are two effects that he has spoken about. One yesterday and today he is speaking one. Yesterday he spoke about one effect of time, which is Jara or old age, which Sukadeva Prabhu spoke about. And in today he is talking about Rog or disease. Yesterday he spoke about old age, today he speaks about diseases. He uses the word disturbances to body and mind. Disturbances to body and mind is essentially, in simple language, is called a disease or rogue. So, what is the essential point of this communication? Why is Narada Muni communicating this? As if it's a doomsday prediction. He's talking about old age, disease, and Prabhupada also is talking about typhoid, pneumonia. It's not a very pleasant topic for a Sunday morning. Right? So, talking about different types of fever. I was studying about this fever yesterday actually. Yesterday night. And yesterday was what? Saturday. So I'm titling this lecture as Saturday night fever. Okay. So there are two types of fever here mentioned. Pneumonia and typhoid. So these are the effects of time or Chandra wave. Now why do the sadhus speak this? Despite this not being a very palatable kind of a topic. Why do they speak? Because the duty of a sadhu is to cut. The duty of a sadhu is to cut. What is the duty of a sadhu? The duty of a sadhu is not to go about giving ashirvad. Okay. So Prabhupada was asked many times for ashirvad. Prabhupada said, Prabhupada, ashirvad, ashirvad. Prabhupada said, okay, you want ashirvad? He showed to all the shaven heads. So you want to become like them? People ran away. They are happy. Right? So, ashirvad, real blessing means a sadhu, his job is to induce detachment into our hearts from this material world. That is real ashirvad or blessings. For example, once I was telling some, I don't know whether it was in this class, earlier class or somewhere, that once Prabhupada was approached in the United States by somebody, they came and told Prabhupada, we are all coming out in India probably. Prabhupada, we are organizing a conference. Prabhupada said, okay, we wanted to invite you. They came to invite Prabhupada. Prabhupada said, what conference? They said, the conference is how all of us can live harmoniously and happily ever after in this material world. Prabhupada said, your topic itself is flawed, first of all. So, this is not a good topic. So, a topic itself is flawed. So, how can you even speak on such a flawed topic? Because whatever you are speaking itself is a lie, it's a bluff. So, obviously, Prabhupada was so hard on them. Then Prabhupada said, anyway, when is the seminar? So they said, it's okay, we'll get back to you. They told Prabhupada, we'll get back to you. Obviously, they never got back, okay, because they didn't want, they realized this man is not able to connect to our whole agenda anyway, okay. Because the agenda was useless. So Prabhupada said, how can we live happy in this material world? It is designed to rot. It's a machine which is designed to fail this body. This whole machine, the material world, is designed to frustrate us. It's like saying, how can we address thirst drinking sulfuric acid? It's also liquid, but can it, if you drink it, what will happen? So it's like that. Or it's like searching, taking an incense stick into a lavatory and thinking that, we can, undo the effects of the smell that comes in a public lavatory. So it is like that. So it's not logical. The topic itself is not logical. So Prabhupada refused. So, when the sadhus speak, the purpose of their speaking is to detach us from this material world. There is no other purpose why they travel or why they speak. Obviously, when you say detachment from this material world, it will not happen until you get attachment to something higher. So, the sadhus speak of both. Now, if we see this purport, a very long purport today of Srila Prabhupada which we just read, the initial opening, Srila Prabhupada talks about the Vedas are stated as asango ayam purusha, the living entity is separate from material existence, Prabhupada talks about superior energy, inferior energy. Prabhupada opens this purport by talking about how we are trapped in this material world. Why we are trapped in this material world? So, in several sections in the Srimad Bhagavatam, especially the second canto and the third canto, it is mentioned as to how we got trapped. We got trapped because of the desire to enjoy separately from the Lord. Because we are tathastha shakti, marginal energy. At any point in time, the marginal energy has a choice to either enjoy with or separately from the Lord. So, when the Lord sensed that some of the souls, they want to enjoy separately, being considerate and compassionate, he wanted to address these kind of people also. Just like the government addresses the criminals also, who want to enjoy separately from the laws of the country or the state, right? So they make a prison. So the Lord created Pradhan. Pradhan, from Brahman comes Pradhan. Pradhan is like a dark cloud in one corner of the spiritual sky. So he created Pradhan. Then the Lord glanced at that Pradhan and agitated that Pradhan, from where came Mahat Tattva, which are the ingredients for this material world. Now, obviously the universes were released from the pores of his body. Mahat Tattva got into all those universes. And based on the interaction of the false ego with the three modes of material nature, gross elements are created, which is what our body is composed of, gross and subtle elements. In fact, yesterday in our Bhakti Vedanta Vaibhav class, I was coincidentally talking on this from the second canto. It is mentioned in the scriptures that the diameter of the gross elements, if you take all the gross elements, earth, water, fire, air, ether, just the gross elements, the diameter of that is 4 billion miles. 4 billion miles, that's the diameter of the gross elements. So if we have to escape the material world, if we travel 4 billion miles, we will only come out of the gross aspect. I mean diameter, so you can take radius, it depends on whichever direction. So you take 2 billion miles and you have to travel. And it is said that each element is 10 times thicker than the other. And the whole thing is 4 billion miles. And after traveling all these miles, then the subtle covering begins after that, which is mind, intelligence and false ego. And again the subtle elements, one is 10 times bigger than the other. And it is mentioned that the layer of false ego is the thickest layer. It is said that the layer of false ego is watery in nature. And this water is different from the water, and this water actually is in the outside of the material universe. But this water is different than the Virata river or Karmadaksha ocean, which is the threshold between the material and the spiritual world in one sense. The water which, after which one enters Vaikuntha. So this water is different. This water is still, the water of false ego is still within this material world, and it is extremely difficult to overcome this water. So even if someone is suffering in this material world, people say that I am okay. Nobody is going to admit that they are not suffering. Nobody is going to admit, because we have a cheating propensity in ourselves. Our false ego does not admit, does not allow us to admit that we are suffering in this world. So in that sense, we are our biggest enemy. When someone admits that they are suffering, for example, if you go to a college alumni, okay, someone asks you, usually people ask our things. So people generally, what they do in these alumni parties and all that, they try to show off that they are not suffering. Yeah, I'm fine. Yeah, I bought a house recently. They just made me, president of the company. So this is what is happening in all these meetings. Nobody is saying that they have a piles problem. Nobody will discuss that, right? And it is very difficult to pass school in the morning. Nobody is going to tell all that. People will suffer. Okay, nobody is actually coming depression. You know, I thought I'll enjoy the material world, but you know, I failed. I think it's my bad karma. I'm getting detached. Nobody is going to have this problem. People are going to show that everything is fine to the others. They'll put perfume, everything. They may have, inside they'll have scabies and all kinds of diseases. Okay? But outside it'll be a suit, tie and perfume. Everything is going on like that. So we are suffering in this world, but somehow we want to pass off as if we are very happy. So we are our own enemy in that sense. Now, why do we suffer? So Prabhupada in his initial purport, Prabhupada is, the import of that is Prabhupada is saying that we are suffering because we are encased in the inferior energy of the Lord. We are trapped in the inferior energy of the Lord. 8.4 million species we have gone through to evolve to the human species. So I was hearing one lecture the other day by a big industrialist. Okay, so he was speaking, he was a devotee, and he was saying that he actually did some mathematical calculations. He took the lifespan of, you know, so many living entities. He actually studied for a long time. Okay, starting with the lifespan of a, what is that? A firefly, which probably has a very small lifespan, I understand. That it is born, it shows some light and then gone. Like that. To the lifespan of a human being, maybe, you know, so many hundred years, to the lifespan of some other species which lives probably longer. So he said he considered after that 30 years is the lifespan on an average of a living entity. He took 30. He didn't take 100, he didn't take, you know, but he took 30. Then he said he multiplied it by 8.4 million species. 30 years lifespan and 8.4 million species on average. So he concluded that all of us can say that we have been 250 years away from our human form of life. And we have got this human form of life after 250 million years. Okay? Some calculations. So for a long time, after a long time, we have got this human form of life. And if we lose this, another 250 million years. So if we even remember our childhood, you know, we go back like this, we think, oh, when I was a child, so long, it's been 25 years or whatever for some of you. For me, I would say 50 years back, I was a child. That itself looks long. And now we are talking about 250 million years. So you can imagine. And then we got a human form. So we are encased, we are trapped. 250 is a very long sentence, even for death. You know, they give you life imprisonment 40 years, 50 years. 250 years here in this day. So there is a big titanic of samskaras that we have. And the problem is that we are conditioned, so we came into this material world because we wanted to enjoy separately. But being in a material world, again we have got conditioned, going through all these species of life. So I was giving an example, eating like a pig. Some people eat like a pig, you know. So where does it come from? Eating like a pig, because we have been a pig sometimes. That's why we are eating like a pig. So he says, we show in human form, we show the symptoms of conditioning in so many earlier lifetimes that we have. And he was explaining that once he went to New Vrindavan, and in New Vrindavan, he saw some of the saintly personalities, they were taking bath in cold water, okay, in the freezing water, take bath and come and do Mangalarati, okay. But this person was saying, I was used to a geyser, so I'm conditioned to using a geyser. Even in summer, we use geyser, because some warm water has to come. So many of us are like that. For example, for me, I am also used to geyser. In summer also, I tend to take with at least lukewarm water. I can't put cold water. Okay. So unless it's like Melbourne has changed, of course. When it comes to 45-50 degrees, then it's different. So eating like a pig or using geyser. So we are all conditioned. So we have to be deconditioned. For example, my son went to this Australian, what is that called as? Army Reserves camp. Okay, so there they made him get early in the morning and run. Okay, so his life changed after that. Okay, otherwise, you know, usually teenagers sleep late, you know, like that. But what happened when he went into this military camp for training? They have specific time. The whistle will ring. Okay, so it is said that within some 10 minutes or so after they, you know, whistle, you have to get out of your bed. You have to make your bed, you have to run and do your toilet. If you want, you can take bath or whatever. You have to put on all your army dress, and within 10 minutes, you have to be in that cave. 10 minutes. So you can imagine how life will change if you are conditioned like this. Okay? So in one sense, they are deconditioned. Okay? Otherwise, what will happen? The alarm will ring, you say, oh, okay, 5 more minutes. No, no way. You will be thrown out of the army, right? You can't do that. Okay. So therefore, that is a military decondition. And here, Prabhupada gave a spiritual decondition. He gave a similar regimen, Okay, little bit more merciful.
Okay.
Then you have to get up at 4:30, you have to be here, you know, in front of the deity. Okay. So a conditioned soul has to have a process of deconditioning. So Prabhupada gave us that. Now, but people don't want to be deconditioned. People are happy remaining in conditioned life. So Srila Prabhupada used to several times give a lot of examples from the various stories from Puranas. So Prabhupada also used this Aesop's fables. You know Aesop's fables, right? A-E-S-O-P, childhood, you know. Aesop's fables, small stories. So Prabhupada spoke of an example. He said, once upon a time there was a lion. The lion was the king of the jungle. Okay. So being the king of the jungle, obviously he has some quality. Right. So he said that I am the king of the jungle, all you animals have to come and pay respects to me all the time. So he realized that one fox is there. That fox was not coming. Okay. To pay him respects. So one day he saw the fox wandering around. Okay. So he told the fox, "Hey, fox, do you know who I am?" So the fox said, "Yeah, I am. You are the king of the jungle," he said. "You know it, but you never pay respects to me, and you are not even paying taxes to me. You have to come and give me something. So I am the king of the jungle. So you have to serve me in some way. So why are you not coming into my cave? You come immediately to my cave." The fox said, "Actually, I am busy today. Can I come tomorrow?" "I have some work, but I'll come tomorrow." So the lion said, "You are a fox, you know, I can't trust you. So you definitely are being diplomatic or you are bluffing with me right now. So you have to come into the cave now." So the fox said, "No, actually, you know, really, you know, can I come please tomorrow?" The fox said, and this went on. So the lion got frustrated. The lion said, "To hell with you, tell me the real reason why you are not coming into my cave." So the fox said, "Okay, since you are asking, I can tell you, but you should not, you know, come and grab me now. Okay, I will tell you the real reason." He said, "There are so many footprints that I see outside, you know, going into your den, but there are no footprints coming out of your den. That is the reason I see that I am scared of, you know, coming into your den." Okay. So why did Prabhupada mention this story? Prabhupada said that we see so many people suffering in the lion-like jaws of lust. Lion-like jaws of lust. But we still want to enter and experience. Okay, what a powerful example. Simple example, but yet very powerful example of Prabhupada. So do not enter the lion-like jaws of lust, Prabhupada says. So this has also been told in Bhagavad Gita by the Lord in 3.37. Lord says, "Kama esha, krodha esha, rajaguna, samudbhava, mahashano, mahapapma, viddi enam ihi vahinam, vahinam." What he says is, lust is the all-devouring sinful enemy. It's the all-devouring sinful enemy. So what is this engagement? What is the root cause of this engagement? If you really go down, it is nothing but lust. It is the very root of everything. Lust is the immediate manifestation of ignorance. This lust is also called as Maituni Bhava by Rishabhadev. The same word is in Bhagavad Gita. Lord Rishabhadev put it in a different way. Lord Rishabhadev said, 5.5.8 in Srimad Bhagavatam, he gave the famous verse, "Pumsa Sriya Mithuni Bhavam Etam Tayor Mipo Hridaya Grantim Ahur Ato Griha Kshetra Sutakta Vitaya Janasya Mohoyam Aham Mameti." So he said that this Aham Mameti principle, Aham Mameti was everything is I and mine. He said the attraction between male and female, which arises out of lust, the attraction between male and female is the basic principle that keeps the entire material existence going. Everything is centered around that. On the basis of this misconception, which ties together the hearts of the male and female, one becomes attracted to his body. So because of this attraction of male and female, one becomes attracted to one's own body. That is why you will find, you know, many times, you know, these teenagers, most of the time what they are doing, You'll find many of you will have boys in them, you will know. All the girls will be, they will be putting the lipstick and then they will be thinking the pink dress should go with the pink shoes, pink handbag. So this is the basic principle of material existence. The girls want to attract the boys want to attract the girls. On the basis of this misconception which ties together the hearts of the male and the female, one becomes attracted to the body, one's own body, other's body. One becomes then attracted to home. Okay, then one enters, you know, family life. Then there is a home mortgage that will come. When you don't pay the mortgage, you are in anxiety. After you have paid the mortgage, there is attachment to the home because you have worked very hard and paid the mortgage. Now again, I have been kicked out of the home. So there is anxiety followed by attachment. And anxiety that it will go away. Right? So there is anxiety all the time. Before mortgage and after mortgage. And so one gets attached to body, home, property. So in order to save tax, what do people do here? They buy second property, third property, 10th property, 20th property. Negative gearing. And now what they are saying, that government is saying that because of COVID-19, maybe the tenants may not be able to pay. So the landlords have to be very merciful. So landlord is finished now. Tenant will enjoy. So landlord doesn't know. So and you can't force. Because they don't have anything. They declare bankruptcy. And you are paying mortgage. Bank is saying, no, don't worry. We will also help you. You can pay later. Later I have to pay mortgage, but tenant cannot pay me. What do I do about that? So this is the problem. So we get that then there is anxiety that comes because of property. Anxieties that come because of children, which are produced as a result of Mithuni Bhav. Rarely anyone enters Grihastashram thinking that, I need someone like Sita Devi in my life. Rarely one enters Grihastashram because of that. One enters usually because of Mithuni Bhav, even devotees. Okay, we can't control our senses. So we very humbly accept, it's a good thing. Grihastashram is good, no doubt, I myself am Grihastashram. But I can candidly admit, I didn't get into Grihastashram to forward the Krishna consciousness. Okay. So we got into Grihastashram and then we get Krishna consciousness. It's like that, right? So one becomes attracted to then children. Because children are the products of Grihastashram, one becomes attached to them. Then one becomes attached to their success. Is my child successful in his academics? Is my child the best in sport? Is my child the best in music? And on top of that, there is a competition. Which devotee child is better than other devotee child? Right? Which child can recite the most Bhagavatam shlokas, Bhagavad Gita? Who is coming obediently to the temple? Your child is not coming, my child comes. Things like that. Okay. So many things. And this is all anxiety to the parents. Oh, that devotee's child is coming to the temple. My child is not even coming to the temple. So this will cause anxiety. Because there is anxiety in this ashram. Home, property, children, relatives will give anxiety. Relatives will give anxiety. Our own wealth will give anxiety. How? Because people have made plans. I am thinking of retiring, okay, in 1 year, superannuation. And now what is happening? Superannuation has all gone because of that. So there is anxiety because of wealth. When will I retire? Right? So people had made financial plans. Everything is going for a toss. Based on house property, I will sell that house. Now house property, they are saying, is going to come. Property prices will come down. So neither you can sell the house nor you can rent the house. Rental fellow is saying, I am not paying. Property price is coming down. Where will you go? When you go for a job, okay, I will work for some more years. They are saying that there are no jobs in the market. There is unemployment. So it chokes. This material world chokes us from all directions. There is no escape route. But still, what will happen after this whole situation, becomes stable? Again, we will enter the den of the lion. The fox will enter. Not the fox. The one who is not clever will, the innocent, so-called innocent or ignorant, foolishly ignorant, will go and again enter the den. Is it working on? Transmission is on?
Yeah. Okay.
So, in this way, Rishabhadeva says, one increases life's illusions and thinks in terms of I and mine. Aham mami. I am the enjoyer and everything is for my enjoyment. And if I am not able to enjoy, I will somehow change my situation and I will ensure that I am enjoying. So this is the stubbornness of the conditioned soul. Now, as Prabhupada said, this attraction which comes out of this engagement, okay, it has got several dimensions. For example, it is often said that lust behaves differently. Lust actually only doesn't mean attraction for sex. Lust actually means the, if you go deeper, lust is that I want to enjoy. Now in whichever, for example, you know, let's say a voluptuous, no, I shouldn't say this because all of you are romantic. Let's say some good looking, you know, opposite sex person is there, okay, some lady is there. So what will happen when a man is seeing, then the man is thinking something in his mind. But when a tiger is seeing differently. Tiger is seeing food. So the desire to enjoy that object is there, but depending on the evolution, depending on the engagement of the soul, the way in which the soul is wanting to enjoy is different. That is why it is consciousness. Depending on the consciousness, we will see an object in the material world. If we see everything in relation to Krishna, then there is no question of engagement in this material world. Anything which we don't see in relation to Lord Krishna is the material energy. Actually, there is nothing called as material energy, if we see, because everything is Brahman. Everything is coming from Brahman. In one corner of the spiritual sky, it is said there is something that has been created. But that is also in the spiritual sky. Just like there is also in Australia. So in that sense, material world is also in the spiritual sky. But it's in one corner. So it's illusory. So the material world is real, but it is illusory. So therefore, depending upon our consciousness, then our lust manifests in different ways. So engagement acts in different ways. And now, when we succumb to this consciousness, when we engage or indulge in this lust, what happens? Do we get satisfied? There was one guy called Osho. They used to call him Bhagwan. Bhagwan Osho in Oregon. Okay. People will go there. And what was his principle? No. His principle was enjoy. No. Enjoy till you get exhausted. Enjoyment is the way to detachment. That was one of the principles. You indulge so much that you will get detached. But that is completely contrary to what Lord Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita. When you indulge more, it is like pouring fuel into the fire, not like pouring water into the fire. One scratch, if you want to fulfill, then once you fulfill, your desire will be for another fulfillment after that. So this mind will always ask for more and more of what we enjoy in this material world. Now, we succumb to this enjoyment, Prabhupada again says here, because we are trapped in the inferior energy of the Lord. We are superior energy. But what happens, even though we are superior energy, we are Anu. Anu means small. Vibhu means large. The Lord is Vibhu, but we are Anu. Because we are infinitesimal parts and fragments of the Lord, then we are always very vulnerable to the attack of the material energy. Only a liberated soul or a Jivan Mukta is immune to this. For example, Prabhupada said that I can be in a room full of naked women and I will not get agitated, but you will get. So only a liberated person, we can be liberated while in this material world. Person with 100% Krishna consciousness will be immune to the attacks of the material world. But otherwise, not. So, now this lust. Sometimes we say that we try to be careful externally about not getting into the entrapment of lust. For example, sometimes when we think of lust, we think of where are the places that one will become lusty. Okay, one will say, okay, in a pub, in a brothel, in a whorehouse or something like that, right? So these are the places where we think that the lust is predominant in this area. That people are drinking, smoking, dining, wining, the women are there. But actually, lust is not there in a specific place. Lust is actually within in our mind. There is no time, place for lust. If it's there, it's there inside our heart. Saubarini, for example, is a very good example. Saubarini thought that I will do nice meditation under the water. I will go inside the water and meditate, nothing will agitate me. But inside the water also what happened? He saw two fishes mating. Now it's only two fishes which are mating. But still what happened? He started meditating on that and then eventually he had to go through a lot of trouble after that. So lust can, our lusty consciousness, if it is there, if lust is there inside our heart, it can come in any situation. So Prabhupada has cautioned us, be always careful. At every step there is danger in this material world. Now as I said before, lust simply does not mean sex desire. Basically, lust is the thinking that I want to dominate others, that I want to enjoy something, that is called as lust. In one case, it may be opposite sex. But lust basically means that I want to dominate, capture, and I want to enjoy. So, it signifies in that sense a deep-rooted desire to serve our senses, to serve ourselves. In that sense, it is opposite of dharma. So, lust is adharmic. Because dharma is what? Dharma is the intrinsic nature of the soul. Dharma of any object. It's called dharma is the svabhava of a vastu. Vastu means object. Svabhava means intrinsic nature. So dharma is actually defined as the intrinsic nature of any object. Now if we consider the soul as an object in this case, the intrinsic nature of the soul is to serve others, not to dominate and enjoy others. Okay. So in that sense, lust acts exactly opposite of dharma. Because why? Because the soul is trapped in this inferior energy. And when the soul is trapped in this inferior energy, then the human being desires to serve all his senses. In fact, somebody was saying in one class that the human being wants to enjoy ideally all the senses simultaneously. Right? All the senses simultaneously. For example, many years back, I saw a movie. I think it was called Coming to America. Have you seen that movie? Eddie Murphy. Coming to America. He is the son of some king or something, but he goes to the United States and all that. Anyway, I don't want to tell the whole story, but I think it was Eddie Murphy. So it is shown that how he is enjoying as the king of some African, as the prince of some African king. So he is lying down and various people are massaging him in his bathtub, somebody is feeding him nice food. So when I saw this purported human desire, human being wants to enjoy all senses simultaneously, that was a vivid example. We want to eat something, at the same time somebody is massaging us, somebody is giving gulab jamun to us. Fantastic, somebody is massaging head like that, right? And then somebody is putting nice incense sticks for our aroma. So all the senses are being satisfied at the same time. This is the problem. So we want to optimize and maximize our sense enjoyment. Like a mirage. But actually it is not possible. Only in a movie it is possible. In real life, it is not possible. For example, there is another example I heard in another lecture. I don't know who it was. Yeah, 2 days back. Somebody was saying that for ones whose mouth is parched owing to walking in the desert, for one whose mouth is parched walking in the desert, the minuscule happiness of a drop of water is barely sufficient. First of all, this happiness is like a mirage. It eludes you all the time. But eventually when you get it, your throat is parched and you will get what? One drop. It's like the bonus which we get at the end of the financial year. After slogging the whole annual 365 days like a donkey, they will give you a small bonus. And that bonus also is coming from your own variable pay. But then it is a bonus has come. So let me work hard next year. So that I get a good rating. Because if you get a good rating only, you will get bonus. Right? So it's like that. So it's like a small drop of water given to a parched person. So Maya gives these small satisfactions. When we indulge in lust, it will give a small satisfaction coming from the itch. Okay? But for that small satisfaction, man will work very hard. That is how this material world traps. So Srila Prabhupada, in his initial part of these purports, he says that when you indulge in sense gratification in this material world, then you develop lot of gross diseases. Diseases comes as a result of time and the desire to enjoy. When you have a desire to enjoy and kala acts on you, then we get lot of diseases. Prabhupada says it leads to fever, typhoid, pneumonia. So Prabhupada talks about tapatraya. In the middle part of this purport, Prabhupada talks about tapatraya. There are 7 problems in this material world which are common to all. Nobody can do anything about it. Right? They are common to all. Nobody wants it for themselves and nobody can do anything about themselves. What are those? Birth, disease, old age, death. And then there are 3 tapatrayas which Prabhupada is talking about. What are the 3 tapatrayas? Adhyatmic misery. Misery is caused because of one's own body and mind. Nobody outside is our enemy. Our own mind is our enemy. Right? So adhyatmic, then adhibhavati, which is misery is caused by other living entities. And Prabhupada says here, adhidaivika, which is misery is caused by act of God or demigods, if you like. So Prabhupada talks about earthquakes, etc., etc. in this purport. So in essence, all this is being described to communicate to us that this material world is dukhalayam ashashvatam. Even Srimad Bhagavatam says that if with every passing day in this material world, how does time act? I think it's the 12th canto of Upanishad. Tatashcha anudinam dharma. That is 12th canto, first chapter.
Yeah.
First chapter, first verse. Something like that. Somewhere around there. Tatashcha anudinam dharma, satyam shaucham shamadaya, kalena balena rajam, nanshati ayubalam smriti. So, Kal has got a debilitating effect in this material world. Time is going to make everything go down only. Time is not going to enhance everything. Time enhances only in the spiritual world. Because there, time is controlled by yoga maya. Here, time is mahamaya. Right? So, here, time will make everything go down. In the spiritual world, time enhances the nature of Krishna's pastimes. Right? So, tathascha anudinam, every passing day, dharma will go down, religiosity will go down, satyam, truthfulness, kshama daya, tolerance, patience, compassion, all these qualities will go down only. Satyam, shaucham, shamadaya, kalana balena rajam. By the influence of time, nangshati, destroyed. Ayu balam smriti. Ayu means age of mankind will come down. Balam, strength will come down. Smriti, remembrance will come down. So everything is going to come down. So this material world is designed to fail. So if someone is trying to be happy in this material world, that is the gross foolishness. So Prabhupada is hammering that point in these purports. Now, if we analyze tapatraya, these 3 tapatraya, what are the 3 tapatraya? Adhyatmic, as I said, because of one's own body and mind, adhibhauti, because of other living entities, whatever miseries we get, and adhidaivika, because of natural disasters. If we actually analyze, it is not very difficult to see that adhyatmic misery is the cause of adhibhauti and adhidaivika. 100% disconnection is still come. Okay? Now, let us talk about examples. Now, here is where it comes. Some conditioned soul, because of his or her conditioning, decides that I want to lord over everything by hook or crook in this material world. And that desire eventually manifests as adhibhautika and adhidaivika. Let us take some examples. For example, a specific country may think that now I want to rule over this entire world. Or a specific race may decide that our race has to dominate this whole world. Or our religion has to dominate this entire world. And therefore, there will be ideologies born out of that thinking that I want my race has to enjoy this entire world. So for example, Hitler. Hitler thought that, you know, we are a superior race. So no other race has the right to live. So kill. Okay. So this led to the mass persecution of millions and millions of Jews. So that happened. So we see that. Or a country may say, okay, I want to establish my power through nuclear supremacy. So somebody's mind starts thinking that, okay, let us accumulate more and more nuclear weapon so that now, you know, I can then nominate everyone. Okay. Or a race may think that I will unleash such philosophy and I will brainwash people to such an extent that they will go and unleash terror just to establish some ideology which I am thinking is right, but it may not be Shastric also. So this is how, because of someone's mind which is sick, which is called as adhyatmic misery, it leads to trouble to everyone through other living entities, because they spread it across and then we get adhi bhautik misery. Misery is caused by other living entities. So there could be a bomb blast somewhere. Something will happen somewhere, right? Or somebody will just go around with a gun shooting everyone. This is all coming because of the disturbed mind. So when such troubles happen, okay, these some these troubles, for example, the examples which I took, many of them we can classify as happening under the because of ignorance. So these are troubles which come because of mode of ignorance. Okay. Now, one need not be really in mode of ignorance. One can create enough. The mind can create problem by mode of passion also. Okay. Now, how does mode of passion create trouble in this world? How does it give adi bhautik misery? That is because somebody may say, okay, I am not going to trouble anyone by taking a gun or shooting or giving false religion, but I have decided that economic development is the goal of life. Okay. So therefore, we have to build skyscrapers. Therefore, let us forget the agrarian economy. Let's forget about agriculture and cow protection. Because actual real economic development is by building factories and by advancement of technology. So somebody's mind may give such a wonderful idea. And somebody's mind has given this idea. That's why we had the industrial revolution. Industrial revolution started with somebody thinking, which then percolated, and the whole mankind is now like coronavirus started somewhere, but everyone is now victim of that, right? Or vulnerable to that. So somewhere it starts, this whole thinking. And then that becomes, the world then gets problems because of that some person's thinking. So then what will happen? You create all these factories, and then you will create cars, you will create automobiles, and there is pollution that happens. Then because of pollution, what will happen? Then there is global warming. Then because people, then computers, because of sedentary life, then people will start getting so many bodily problems. And then because of stress, the pressure of coming out with technology very fast, everyone is pressurized to invent. The R&D departments are under pressure that you should invent new products. The sales department is under pressure to sell this product. The manufacturing department has to churn it out quickly into the market. They call it as time to market. The managers are always under pressure. Get revenues, get bottom line, margins. So everybody is under pressure, and then this causes stress and ailments. Then some people go into depression, some people go to suicide. So all kinds of problems start happening because of one person thought that industrialization is good for the country. So forget simple living, high thinking, agrarian economy. We have to, the material world will progress. We build more and more skyscrapers, big factories. So someone thought this, and the whole world is now running around that. So now what is happening? Because of all this, there is pollution that's happening, global warming, oil drilling is happening. And now, because of all this oil drilling, if we get earthquakes, because of this global warming, if tsunami happens, then we actually call it as adi daivika misery. But actually it is not adi daivika misery. It is not an act of God. It is just nature giving back to you. That's all. Okay. So sometimes you may think, oh, demigods are also giving us trouble. Demigods are not giving us trouble. We are causing it because of our bad practices. Actually, if we stop abusing the environment, then Prabhupada said there is enough and more for everyone to live happily in this world. Nobody will go hungry in this world. But it is the greed of man. So, if you see all these miseries, the root cause is the greed in man, which manifests as lust. Purusha bhav, mithuni bhav, aham mameti. Everything is mine, and I will ensure that I am controlling this world and I am enjoying it. So the desire to dominate, control, rule over, this desire is called as material lust. The desire to devour everything, control everything. So now the cure also is being mentioned here. Now in fact, before we go to that, I was reading the newspapers, okay. The leaders of this country, okay, are now predicting that the impact of this present situation is going to be much longer than just stopping the proliferation of this virus. So in once, even after we reach the peak and it troughs, after it troughs, then there is a long period after that, that is awaiting. So they are saying it's much longer even after the virus is controlled. Because what's happening is there are a lot of economic losses that have happened. Okay, for example, Chatham Shopping Center, which is a big hub of our economy, completely collapsed. Okay, so people are not able to pay their rents also. People who are owning those shops or whatever, they are not even able to pay their rent because nobody is shopping over there. So there are economic losses. And to somehow mitigate that, then there are grants that are being given. Okay, which is good in one sense. The government is doing something nice to give something in the short term, but nothing is free in this material world. All these grants are going to result in higher taxes. And where is it predicted? It is predicted in Srimad Bhagavatam. What is it predicted? One day, government will increase so taxes so much more that people will run away from the cities and run to the mountains, right? So, this will happen. So, material work is like a, Prabhupada says, material solution is like a patchwork. So, we will do patchwork, somewhere else it will start leaking. And what will happen? When tax increases, then you get less pay for the same work that you do. Because gross salary minus tax is net what you get in hand. What you get in hand is now you are going to reduce. Now, many people are retiring, okay? And now because suddenly their whole financials has gone for a toss. So, now they will say, you will have to work now, okay? Because I am not going to cover my basic expenses income, there is a gap, so I have to work. Now, if they have to work, they have to upskill themselves. And even for the young people, there are not enough jobs in the market. So, who is going to take an old man? And at that age, learning something new is also difficult. You can't take a 75-year-old man and tell him, can you take, now start learning robotic process automation. The senses are not cooperating a bit now. Even if when he was 20 years old, maybe he didn't have a liking for studies. At 70, who is going to study all these things, right? So, this is the situation. Now, talking specifically about developed countries, and I was, you know, I was part of a conference, a global conference, where you know, the management folks in my company, you know, our CEO was addressing us. So he was saying that in developed countries where there is high inflation, where labor is very expensive, now what is happening is that, for example, Australia, labor is extremely very expensive. That is why the whole concept of outsourcing has started. That you give the jobs to low cost geographies. That's why the manufacturing industry gradually died in this country. That's why the manufacturing industry, we find the manufacturing industry was gradually dying because everything was being outsourced, right? So now what is going to happen is, now the world has seen that over reliance on other countries will also bring in its own problems. So now there could be a shift back to bring everything back into our country, okay, to attain self-sufficiency. But because labor costs are too high, the same product which was costing probably $2, okay, now is going to cost $6 or $10. So on one sense, the taxes are high, the income is low, and then there is inflation that is happening on the other end. So in net-net, what is going to happen? It is not going to become easy even surviving in the future. So this is a big cycle we have got into now. So the material world, and this is not surprising because Bhagavatam is already saying that the material world is designed to frustrate, and there is no material solution that will ever eradicate the modern day issues, nor will anything change the direction of Kali Yuga, which has been designed by the Lord. So everything is meant to frustrate. So the solution for us is to develop detachment. Either we have to develop it through spiritual practice, or automatically the material world will give us kicks. We are studying the 11th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam as part of our Bhakti Vedanta degree course with Kesha Prabhu. So, we are going through the Uddhava Gita around chapter 8 and 9, somewhere we are there. So, there is the story of Pingala, and then as a part of that, there is the story of the prostitute also, right, which is mentioned. So, this prostitute, it is said that she is, the story of the prostitute is being narrated to Uddhava. So, this prostitute, she has been in this profession for a long time. Now, it is said also that she also enjoyed the association of men. Men also enjoyed her, right? And then now she is waiting outside, waiting for customers to come. But it is said that she waited, she decorated herself nicely. No customers are coming nowadays, okay? So, gradually it led to a point that she got detached from that whole profession. So sometimes what will happen, if we forcibly don't stop accumulating, then the material world will bring a situation that we will eventually have to stop somewhere. Otherwise the mind will always look for opportunities to enjoy even amidst misery. Like the example of a businessman. This businessman was so materialistic, he always thought about money all the time. So his children became devotees. So the children said, we have to now preach to the father somehow, so that the father also becomes devotee, okay, and he becomes detached. So they approached the saintly personality. The saint personality, he said, okay, I will handle your father. So he took the father to a crematorium where bodies are burnt day in and day out. But what happened? When the father went there, After 3-4 days, the father started crying. So then the yogi said, oh, maybe he has now got detached. Then he asked, why you are crying? Did you understand the futility of material world? He said, no, I am crying because I was into so many businesses, but I should have gone into the wood business. Because there is so much demand for wood, and it will never stop because people are keeping on coming into this place. Death is there. So for a person who is conditioned to enjoy the material world, no, nothing is going to detach. So we need a fundamental deconditioning process. And therefore, Srila Prabhupada concludes, you know, towards the end of his purport, Srila Prabhupada says, there must be importance, there must be transcendental knowledge that must be disseminated. Right from childhood, if it is given, it is best. Because right from childhood, one, for example, all of you, you know, have adopted the glorious Brahmachari ashram. Okay. So right from this age, if we are trained in Brahmachari ashram, then even if someone enters the Grihastha ashram later on, okay, then at least one knows how to live simple. That is a big training, and this is an invaluable training that, you know, the Brahmachari ashram gives us. Unfortunately, I didn't have that training. Okay. I realized too late the importance of simple living. So, simple living, high thinking. Through transcendental knowledge, reliance has to be more on agriculture and cow production. Because Prabhupada says that is the true wealth of an economy. Only when we understand this will animal slaughter stop. When animal slaughter stops, then so many problems, including the problem which we have today, will also not be there. Animal slaughter, drug peddling, so many problems are there in this material world. So people's consciousness has to be clean. And Prabhupada says, the Srimad Bhagavatam is very important there. So continuous study of the Srimad Bhagavatam, recital of the Srimad Bhagavatam acts as the bhava aushadhi. It is the medicine for the sick mind. So the mind has to be trained. Mind has to be trained by constantly hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam, reading the Srimad Bhagavatam. So, many times, you know, I have heard in several lectures that this world is like a toilet. And Keshav Prabhu also says this. This world is like a toilet. Finish your business and get out from here. Don't plan to stay too long. Don't keep admiring the stool. Right? Okay. So, we have to increase our sense of discrimination through the power of knowledge. This is very important. Now, discrimination is there even in animals. But the spectrum of discrimination of an animal is not as evolved as that of a human being. For example, a pig will also have discrimination. What discrimination pig will have? Whether to eat wet stool or dry stool. Okay. Only to that extent pig will have discrimination. That is why I give this example. This businessman, even after going to the crematorium, it is said Mullah Jidhaur Masjid, you know, his spectrum is so narrow that he is seeing everything through that lens only. So the whole lens has to change. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Nyan Anjana Shalakaya. With the ointment of knowledge, the way we see the world will change. That is only when we receive this transcendental knowledge through Guru, Sadhu and Shastra. So only through Guru, Sadhu and Shastra we will understand certain very basic principles of detachment. And the detachment starts by, and this whole problem of lust, what is the solution that is given? Rupa Goswami gives us a nectar of devotion. He says it all starts with controlling the tongue, what you put in your tongue. Because what we put in our tongue, how much we put in our tongue, at what time we put in our tongue, everything decides the pressure that will, the influence that it will have on the belly as well as the genitals. In our, for our physical well-being as well as our mental well-being, which is what Prabhupada talks about, the fever of pneumonia, typhoid. So a lot of things is dependent upon how we take care of this physical body as well as our mental body. We have to take care of these things. So therefore, you know, I know that most of you brahmacharis are having a good, you know, regimen of exercise and yoga. I don't know whether it's still going on, and I hope and pray that all of you, you know, continue, you know, this. You have to take care of your health. I also have to take care of my health. I'm realizing as I'm getting, you know, into my, you know, early 50s, that I should have taken care of my health. But now, if I still don't realize it, I'm a mooda. So we have to take care of our health, because if health is gone, everything is gone. Everything is gone. We will not even have enthusiasm to perform our devotional life. So that health begins with control over the tongue, and so control over eating, regular exercise, discipline, and then the obviously the medicine of Srimad Bhagavatam, the association of devotees hearing. So all this will ensure that though we are in this material world, we are not influenced by Adi Adhyatmik, Adi Bhautik and Adi Daivika misery. So in this set of verses, having spoken about death, because he is decoding, I am coming back to where we started the class, Narad Muni is now decoding the various characters in the Puranjana. So he has decoded death yesterday, he is decoding disease today, and in the ensuing verses we will see that tomorrow or day after he is now going to decode the different modes of material nature. So I will stop here and ask if there are any questions or comments.
Actually, you know, even if people decide to go out and work and marry, after listening to the lecture, that also smashed, you know. Thank you for enlightening us, because we may not know the details and implications of what is happening outside.
Yeah.
You and myself, you know, I'm in my own world and thinking, you know, this and that. But then after listening to you, then, you know, you feel like reading a newspaper or something, you know. Like after reading, you feel like my situation is much better than. Because forcefully now we cannot enjoy ourselves. Even if people are wanting to go out and buy things, nobody can, right? Or go out and enjoy food in a restaurant, nobody can. Cinema houses are closed, etc. But he said that the desire to enjoy is still there. Therefore, the desire will manifest in the form of we doing those things within the four walls of our home. Because today technology offers a cinema house within our own house, right? There is Netflix, Boxtel, so many channels are there. So one can fall victim within the four walls of one house itself, right? So therefore, yes, definitely this situation is preventing us from going outside and enjoying, but because the desire to enjoy has not gone out from our heart, so one will enjoy inside the house, right? So therefore he says that, but this COVID situation is giving us another good thing, that we don't have the pressure of going to office, okay? Even many of us are working from home now. So we have valuable time that gets saved in terms of going commuting to and back and then wearing your suit and tie. All that is not required. You can still wear your shorts and dhoti and still continue working, right? So there is a lot of time that has got released. And the general pace of economic activity has come down because of this. And therefore, you know, the targets are also being slightly, you know, relaxed right now. So what better opportunity now than this? This is the time, he said, therefore, that do not take your eyes off. Okay. Whatever that you have not been able to do in your spiritual life, do it now. Or whatever you have not been able to do it in your material life, also do it now. And simple example, he said, if you have never had a time to go for a morning walk, do it now. If you have never had time to exercise, do it now. If you have never had time to study Bhagavatam scrutinizingly because of office pressures, academic pressure, do it now. So he says that there is no substitute for detachment than constantly keeping the rod. You know, this is not exactly what he said. This is my, you know, what I understood. You know, I'm giving an example of what I understood in terms of what I understood. So keeping the rod, Rupa's example is this. Now keeping the rod, when you do the smithy in the foundry, you keep that rod in the fire of charcoal. Till that time it will take the, if you, as long as you keep it, the rod takes, the iron takes the nature of fire. So keep yourself into the fire of Krishna consciousness. He always says, nazar ma katana. Don't let your eyes, take your eyes off in this situation. So every moment, if we are cautious, and we don't have to do any circus, we have to just follow the basic principles of Krishna consciousness. And he says that this is, you know, even a very beautiful time for everyone, no matter whether you are grihastha or brahmachari. Brahmachari have to get up at Mangalarati. Grihasthas have a choice in their house. Nobody knows what time grihasthas are getting up, right? So for grihasthas, he was saying that now you have an opportunity, you know, because you can now plan your day much better. Earlier your office was planning your schedules. Now because you have the flexibility to work from home, now is a good time for you. If you have not had the habit of getting up in running and chanting all your 16 rounds sitting in one place, in Brahma Murta, in one shot, then now is the opportunity for you to do that. So basically he was talking about that. So as long as we keep ourselves in this fire, not to lose the schedule which Prabhupada has designed for us, then we are safe. The moment we lose that schedule, and how we lose that schedule, he says, that schedule we will lose just by one temptation. For example, today I will not do exercise. It always starts with this. So tomorrow, anyway, I have been doing and I will continue doing from tomorrow. Today, one day rest day. And he says, that will change the whole direction of your life, that one day. Because today you didn't do. Tomorrow you say, yesterday also anyway I didn't do, I am healthy now. So why do today? From tomorrow I will do. And then what will happen? Slowly you have lost that routine in your life. So he says, do not lose your routines. In fact, take opportunity and incorporate more routines into your life for which you never had time before this situation. So that is how we... That is it? Okay, I'll stop here because it's time. I think there is some... mental activities to do. So stop it. Yantra Achyana Bhagavan Ki. Jaya.